morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Very busy hour. We are waiting to be joined by U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, Senator Tammy Baldwin, is going to be joining us momentarily. Very much looking forward to talking to her. Mm-hmm. Coming up at 11:33, Acme Packing Company sports guru Paul Noonan will be here. We're going to talk about the Bucks.
The Bucks.
The Brewers.
Yay!
And the NFL draft, which starts on Thursday. And then final segment of the show at 11:50, Brittany Merlot, civic media meteorologist, will be joining us for weather and wine. And we'll find out what's coming up for the next couple of days and what the weather patterns look like and things like that. So before we went to the top of the hour news, we were talking about Speaker of the House Mike Johnson actually bringing aid packages to the floor for a vote. Mm-hmm. All individual packages.
Yeah.
Aid for Israel, aid for Ukraine. And on Twitter this morning, Julie Serkin from NBC News just tweeted this out. Things just got very heated on the House floor. A group of hardliners trying to pressure Mike Johnson to only put Israel aid on the floor and hold Ukraine aid when Mike Johnson said he couldn't do it. Derek Van Orden, Wisconsin's own. Derek Van Orden called him tubby and vowed to bring a motion to vacate. Our most mature.
I didn't realize they were holding House votes on the playground.
Just continues to cover himself in glory every time he speaks. Wisconsin, that's the third district.
I was going to say, well, you hear that, Wisconsin third? That's your guy.
You must be so proud.
Tubby.
He called him tubby. What are you, 12?
I don't even know 12-year-olds would say tubby.
Honest to God. It's no one in the group, according to, again, Julie Serkin from NBC News, Matt Gaetz, Bobo Boebert, Higgins, Donalds, none of them are threatening Johnson with a motion to vacate. Van Orden now seemed to have escalated things dramatically.
Well, I think, you know, Van Orden is, I think, a Dutch for flying off the handle.
Could be.
To anybody else out there whose last name is that. I just couldn't resist. Okay. I mean, this is a bad look, and every time he's covered, it's always for...
It's not good.
Yeah. I mean, meanwhile... He is the champion of the farmers. He's on the ag committee. I mean, it's...
And what has he done?
Yeah, it's...
What has he done?
Got a text came in from 419, listening to WAUK. That's the Republican Party I've come to know, fear and laugh at. I mean, honestly, that's the best way to put it. I kind of think that's how we do it here. It's like, we laugh at it, we talk about it, and we learn, but we're also like...
Ugh. Well, and... if you listen to the show for any length of time, I think you know that we might be laughing at things, but these are often very deadly serious things.
We never use humor to pull away from the seriousness or the importance of the issue. We know when to speak with.
I like to think so.
We know when to speak with respect and honor about things. That's not the word I wanted to use, but that's fine. But we also like to have fun, and we hope that you engage that way as well with us, too. But we will never let you down when it comes to that. We'll never make fun of something that shouldn't be made fun of.
We try not to.
Yeah. Oh, it's someone, I'm in the third, 715, I'm in the third, and I'm disgusted with DVO.
I think a lot of people are, and I think, especially when you mentioned the farmers.
Yes. You know.
They still haven't passed that farm bill, right?
Nope. And they're going to wait on it. And, you know, that's one thing I really credit this network of doing for me is giving me a love and knowledge for farmers in this state.
Absolutely.
And the more I learn and the more I hear from them, especially Pam Yonke's farm report every morning.
Yes.
5 to 6.
She's magnificent.
I become more and more enraged when I hear anyone speak about farmers and helping them when they're doing nothing
to help them.
Yeah. Because then they go to their farms, they shake their hands and say, I'm helping you. And really, those farmers aren't stupid. They're like, no, you're not.
Well, and let's not forget Eric, California guy, lake sitting, axe throwing Eric Hovde, said not too long ago that farmers are pretty lazy because now they all have air conditioned cabs and radios in their cabs. And so they don't work that hard.
Yeah, but
what an insult.
Yeah.
What an insult.
We love the farmers. We love Pam Yonke. We love all of you.
We are waiting for U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin to join us. I'm sure she has, I don't know, a couple other things going on, maybe some other meetings. But she will be here very shortly. And I wanted to share with you an article from Urban Milwaukee talking about accomplishments. Senator Baldwin, and this is from April 9th, announced that a number of rural Wisconsin airports are getting over $2.6 million in federal infrastructure money to make critical upgrades to improve safety and increase revenue. They're all over the state. So one is the Chippewa Valley Regional Airport, getting about over $2 million. They're going to build a new two-bay South General Aviation hangar. A West Bend Municipal Airport, about $13,000. Palmyra Municipal Airport, almost $500,000. Waupaca Municipal Airport, $55,000. And Manitowish Waters Airport, $110,000.
That's something we don't think about or talk about often enough, is those municipal small airports that do, I mean,
they're critical for so many of these little communities.
Yes. I mean, there are some places in the United States where that's how you get places.
Right.
And they need upgrades. They need to be taken care of. They're part of the infrastructure as well. So, I mean, really, it's good that we're paying attention to this. So
we are delighted. She just joined on the live stream. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. Good morning, Senator. Thank you so very much for joining us. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning. It's wonderful to get a chance to join you.
Very excited to have you here. I know you are a very, very busy person, because it just seems like, Senator Baldwin, you keep doing things for your constituents. What is up with that?
Oh, my goodness. Well, there are a lot of things that I hear from my constituents as I travel across the state. And it really informs my work in Washington, D.C. But right now, I think folks are really struggling with the high cost of things. We read the headlines that say inflation is down significantly from its higher point. And then you go to the grocery store and you're like, that doesn't feel like it to me.
Right.
Yeah. And, this is not just our grocery bills. This is also what working families pay for childcare. This is about the cost of housing being out of reach for many. And I'm trying to work on all of those fronts. And so just to give you an example, I sit on the Senate Appropriations Committee, which helps fund the various agencies of government. And one of the committees, the subcommittee that I chair, has jurisdiction over childcare. And we were able to raise the childcare and Head Start funding by $1 billion nationwide in this last budget, even though our instructions were you need to spend less this year than you did last year. Even with that, we were able to prioritize this because it's such a significant issue. You know, lots of families are spending, I've heard, as much as 35-36% of their income on childcare. And it can cost more for childcare than it does in-state tuition at the university. I mean, it's just outrageous. But anyways, I've been able to do that overall funding increase, but also fund some local projects across Wisconsin. There's one in Fond du Lac where they're going to have a shared facility for childcare entrepreneurs. So there might be, so they can all be co-located in the same space, but so you can start a business as a childcare provider in this space and have support as a new entrepreneur as you launch your business. But also, of course, it will attract more opportunities to get childcare in that region of the state.
That's so important. And we've talked to a lot of our listeners too, Senator Baldwin, about exactly what you said and the unbelievable cost and the kind of people get stuck because you want to work, but yet is it worth working with what you have to shell out for childcare? So it's and the need for childcare is not going to lessen. It's only going to increase. So this entrepreneurial center sounds like a really, really positive thing.
Absolutely. And the $1 billion that we were able to get for childcare and Head Start will also help lower tuition costs for parents. The state will ultimately administer Wisconsin's share of this, but basically can help people who can't quite afford the tuition that is charged by their childcare center. And it sort of helps match your funds with these childcare dollars in order to make it all work. And so that's another really important aspect of this. But I hear also from people who say, look, when my children are young, I worked. It also took up almost all that person's income, but they were paying into Social Security and into Medicare to make sure that once their children were school aged, that they hadn't lost ground in terms of their career. But it is very frustrating to see almost an entire income, if you have a two-income family, consumed by the childcare alone.
U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin is our guest. And Senator, I know we only have about a minute and a half left. I know you have to go. Real quickly, we can talk about the inhalers.
Yes.
That's so critically important to so many people, too.
Yeah. So, we've made some really real headway in recent years in lowering the cost of prescription drugs, medications that people need to survive, frankly. And when you're talking about inhalers, they need to breathe in emergent cases. But we have probably 500,000 Wisconsinites with asthma. And the four major manufacturers of inhalers, they charge between $250 and $650 per inhaler in the U.S. And we launched an investigation to say, why are the list prices so high here, where in Europe you can get an inhaler for between $5 and, say, $75? Well, our pressure and our scrutiny got them to voluntarily lower their prices to no more than $35 a month out of pocket.
That's a huge...
Amazing. We didn't even pass legislation. We just investigated.
That is incredible. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, thank you so very, very much for making time for us today. Very, very much appreciated. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and if you're watching on the platform that Elon continues to ruin. We were very, very fortunate to have a chance to talk to Senator Tammy Baldwin.
We could have had her on for an entire 2 hours talking about all the things she does.
Absolutely.
Am I a liberal? I am. I lean left. I do the left thing, the lefty dance, whatever. But there's no getting around. I'm just going to put it in plain terms. There's no getting around the piles of money she brings back to the state for various programs that helps everybody.
Yes.
From the farmers to the infrastructure to inhalers to...
To union workers,
and guess what? A lot of those people that help get helped by her don't vote for her. She doesn't care.
She does it anyway.
So, yeah. Speaking of people who get help from her and don't vote for her, you mentioned Palmyra Airport as one of the municipal airports getting funding. I went to high school in Palmyra, and yes, I can. A lot of people will be voting for Eric Hovde from Palmyra. And I don't think they'll even know that the airport got funding because of Senator Baldwin.
Well, and that's why is what we try to bring out, because otherwise it's either the other side doesn't mention it at all, or the other side takes credit for it, even though they didn't vote for it. And we've been seeing that happen all over the country, too, with a whole bunch of Republicans who didn't vote for the infrastructure bill. And now they're getting $1 billion, yep, for whatever infrastructure project in their state. It's like, look what I did for you. Look how fabulous I am.
You didn't vote for this.
Exactly.
And the other thing too is that goes back to our mission for the network, but especially for Jane and I and for Calvin too, with this show. If you're listening in that area, tell a friend.
Yeah.
About the show. Or just say to them, hey, I was listening to a story about how Senator Baldwin helped finance this place that employs people and helps people. You know, turn the tide. I'm not saying change the political landscape of your community. I mean, if you can do that, that'd be pretty cool. But by talking to a person or two people and just having a good, honest conversation, that's what we hope for.
And it's bringing folks the facts.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's bringing people the actual facts of what's actually happening and who is actually making that happen.
Yeah. And I mean, because I can tell you the facts about the other guys, and there's not much to tell because they don't talk about much and they don't want to do anything. So,
well, you can see that with California guy. He has no policies. Yeah. He has platitudes. He hasn't brought anything forward saying, this is what I will do to fix X.
And this is a conversation I feel like we don't have. And when I say we, I mean the royal we, not you and I, because we've had this conversation, but we're not talking about more, which is similar to the Tim Michaels issue of running for governor. This is a guy who lives 3,000 miles away, who has truckloads of money, who is probably, you know, he's getting older. He's probably going to retire from the business sooner or later, and he needs something to do. Hey, I'll run for senator. Good campaign if you can find it.
Well, and Mitch McConnell's the one who found him.
Yeah.
You know?
What a find, too, I must say. Just ice diving, axe throwing, California landowner with no real sense of policy issues and no real, like, he doesn't care. Because if Trump is the president, he stays rich. If Biden's the president, he stays rich. If Bob Kennedy becomes president, God help us all. But he still stays rich. So that's even a bigger conversation to me is about Eric Hovde and all these people who live hundreds, if not thousands of miles away and say, I know
those folks.
I want that job.
I know what they need.
Yeah, and I want that.
I know what they need.
Can I have that? I want that.
I still laugh by the story, and I think, Greg, we talked about this yesterday, this story about Eric Hovde raising $9.1 million with the slight caveat that he loaned $8 million to himself. So you raised maybe not so much, you know.
So okay,
you raised $1.1 million. Well done. I couldn't do that. But saying, yes, I raised $9.1 million, let's just not look at the $8 million I gave myself.
A lot of times those are like super donors or they're given special, like, special names as part of the campaign. Like,
right, right, right.
So does that mean, like, if he wins and he becomes senator, does that mean he gets to visit himself in Washington and have lunch with him? Because that makes him a super donor. Therefore, he's entitled to certain things, like a keychain, a senatorial keychain, and maybe a handshake and a picture, because he's a super donor to the Eric Hovde. Eric Hovde is a super donor to Eric Hovde. So,
super Eagle Platinum donor or something, right?
Triple Diamond X.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Elmo would like that.
Yes.
Elmo would like that. We have news coming up. Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company will be here at 11:33 so we can talk about sports.
We know we need to talk about, with Paul, we're going to talk about the Bucks. We can talk about the Brewers. We can talk about some football. We've got to talk about that WNBA draft, baby. Just happened. Huge. People are excited.
I'm very excited.
Yeah. And we also got a wonderful text, the 419 again. Thank you so much. Listen to WAUK. I like Senator Baldwin's style of caring about constituents and not obstructing governmental processes. A very refreshing callback to when political leaders remember they work in government, not sensationalized media. Hoping to see that approach start to trend in all offices. Good Lord, we all do.
Yeah, we certainly do. Unfortunately, it's the cuckoo caucus that gets all the media attention, and that's why they do it.
Yep.
And there have even been people within their own party who say they're worried about their next gig.
Yeah.
And whether they're going to go to Fox or OAN or what they're, you know, where are they going to land next? That's their bigger concern. They really aren't terribly concerned about legislating.
Yeah. Some of them are going to land in jail, maybe. Talking to you, Matt Gaetz. Point is, you always have 10% on either side who scream loud and hard and gather all the attention and spotlight. And then you got those people in the middle who get the work done.
Yep. They're in the background actually doing it.
Yeah.
Actually bringing it home.
Doing those deals, because that's what needs to get done, and making things work. And if, you know, we're talking about Speaker of the House earlier, just doing the job.
Actually doing something.
Yeah.
Before we head to the news, in case you missed the latest completely real and totally legitimate attack ad that landed in, you know, somebody showed up at my door last night and I took it and we played. We're going to play it one more time, Calvin. if you want to play that Baldwin ad too, please take a listen.
Wisconsin's two U.S. senators couldn't be more different. Democrat Tammy Baldwin keeps getting things done for her constituents. She helped secure funding for infrastructure projects like the Blatnik Bridge and made sure Wisconsin seniors can afford life-saving insulin. But Republican Senator Ron Johnson knows exactly what needs to happen to make your life better.
I think we'd be far better off if we never passed another piece of legislation.
This November, elect the wealthy California guy who sits in frozen lakes. Just like Senator Johnson, he'll work hard when he gets to Washington, just not for you. Paid for by the We Got Nothing Else Super PAC.
Ouch.
Dang.
Ow.
Ooh. Ooh. I could go to the hospital.
Felt that in the back of my neck.
Or the burn unit.
News is on the way next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The following content is not intended as medical advice. Always consult your own physician, pharmacist, or healthcare professional for your own healthcare concerns.
Down inside, he says there's nothing really wrong with me. I'm just missing my man. So, honey. Please.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, you can always join the show. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. She joins us every Wednesday. Every Wednesday, yes, it is Wednesday. At this time, from 11:30 to 12, Dr. Laura Hanks is here for public cervix announcement. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Hanks. I wanted to start off and find out, your parents were concerned about your first appearance last week. I'm wondering what their review was.
High review, 10 out of 10.
Mom and Dad were happy. Good. We want to keep Mom and Dad happy. That's very important. And always. I know you had the chance to listen to a little bit of the show before you joined us. And we were talking about Aaron Rodgers, who's now an expert on...
Try not to roll your eyes, Jane.
An expert on all things vaccines because he does his own research and blah, blah, blah. Lisa from Madison texted in, so Aaron Rodgers looks things up on his conspiracy theory websites and continues down the rabbit hole. I've noticed a pattern of getting in the heads of a few influential people with large followings and convincing them of ridiculous conspiracy theories, hoping it will spread. Aaron Rodgers, Elon Musk, Bob Kennedy Jr., a commonality is that they've been influenced by that guy Joe Rogan, who when pushed into a corner says, don't listen to me, I'm an idiot. And we were talking about a former Trump administration official, Kash Patel, who is now selling supplements to protect yourself from people who are shedding the vaccine. As a doctor, that must just make your head explode when you hear things.
You have to laugh or else you'll cry. But, you know, there's so much information just at our fingertips. So it's a really interesting time to be a doctor right now, right? Because my father was a general surgeon and he often said, and he actually retired right before COVID. And he was like, I'm so sorry. Because it just, COVID really, yeah. You know, people were starting to do their own research and stuff, but COVID really just changed the game for us in terms of patients being very skeptical of the medical community because of what politicians were saying and what people were kind of like all the BS that was thrown out there. But on that same thread, and I think I've mentioned this before, I still support doing your own research. I think that you should try to learn more about, you know, COVID or whatever disease process you might be coming to see me for or your doctor for. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's great when you want to learn more. But you have to understand that the internet's a scary place and that there is a lot of misinformation out there. So I have a lot of patients that come in, they're like, I started to do research and then I stopped because, you know, I had cancer or whatever, sure, you know, like it just tells you all these scary things. And I'm like, great, then let me help you fill in the blanks and give you, you know, reputable sites or information so that you can educate yourself. You know, that's the part. And again, like you guys always say, and I'm so appreciative that find the doctor that you feel comfortable with and is going to give you the information. Don't get your information from NFL stars or porn stars. Like they're not doctors. They didn't do all the training that we did. And we really do have your best interest in at heart.
Absolutely. And as you said, Dr. Hanks, you're not discouraging people from looking things up or looking for more information. But before you buy some silver serum that you see hawked somewhere as a cure for whatever, you may want to run that past your doctor who actually, I don't know, has gone to school for several years and has gone through practice. And
what do they know?
I know. It's like, come on.
I went to a doctor once and I had looked a little information up just because it wasn't a physical. I was going to the doctor to have something looked at, and I actually apologized beforehand. I'm like, look this up. I'm sorry. If I'm very wrong, I apologize. And she was like, no, you're good to look it up. It's when you start believing the internet full stop without the help of a doctor or a nurse practitioner or someone who just has more medical knowledge than you do. Because if that's the case, why do you go to a doctor in the first place then? If you don't believe the doctors, why are you doing it?
It still makes me sad that you feel the need to apologize. And I feel like you feel the need to apologize because of all these other people that are doing what they're doing. Because I have patients that say that exact phrase to me. They're like, I'm so sorry, I looked it up. I'm like, don't say sorry. Yeah. You should feel empowered to do research, but just know that research is a bigger word. Like, I feel like people just drag that word through the mud. Research is so much more than that. And I went to school for so long and I still feel like a novice when it comes to research, you know, like the understanding how a study needs to be powered, if it's peer reviewed, what were their, you know, methodology and all of that stuff. It's tough. And you really have to understand and look into that to be able to do quote good research.
And that's, you know, it's like when someone says, oh yeah, evolution, it's just a theory. Do you know what the word theory in science means? You didn't do research. You just look something up. Like my sister-in-law is a researcher. Like she gets paid to do data analysis. She runs models. She does the work. When I hear the word research, I have a profound respect for that word because I know the people who are getting paid to do it and make it their life. They're trying to make the world better, hopefully, but they're trying to make the world better. And I do my research. Hey, you look something up.
Yeah, exactly. Dr. Laura Hanks is here for our public service announcement. She joins us every Wednesday at this time. If you ever have a question for her, you can email it to janesays@civicmedia.us. Dr. Hanks, we have a question from last week that we didn't have a chance to get around to, so that we're going to do this now. I believe Cam sent this in.
Yes.
I have a question for Dr. Hanks. I have been on Adderall since the second grade. And now with the use of marijuana being decriminalized around the country, I have a deep-rooted fear providers will stop being willing to write prescriptions for this. I'd like to know if this is warranted, if the DEA just needs a new target.
So you sent me this question last week, and I've looked at it multiple times trying to unpack really what this person is trying to get to. And I have a couple thoughts, and I apologize if I'm not really answering the question, and please, you know, write back if I'm not. One is that we're in a very interesting time in medicine. I graduated from medical school about 10 years ago, right as kind of the opioid epidemic was being recognized. So when I was in medical school, we got really drilled into our heads, you are not to talk to drug reps. You do not go to lunch with drug reps. And that was a pretty new thing. And that was all, not just opioid, but And they very much are trying to, like, we couldn't even use, if they gave us a pen, we had to throw it away.
We couldn't
use a pen that had, like, anything from a drug, you know, we could, nothing. So there's been trying, and before that, it was very much like the cultures were intertwined and going out to all these fancy lunches and stuff. So they're very kind of separated. And that was happening right in the beginning of my training. So it's kind of like, what was going on?
Right.
So, I want to go golfing.
So I don't know. There's a Netflix, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, like the about kind of this, I'm allowed to promote, but I just watched it recently and I can't stop thinking about it, about kind of that what the drug reps were doing to doctors and then kind of how they were like manipulating doctors into selling opioids specifically. So
was that the one with Michael Keaton?
No, with Matthew Broderick.
Oh yes, about the Sacklers.
It's very dramatized, but it was just fascinating from my point of view, having kind of like come in at the tail end of that.
Yeah.
And now seeing kind of how that is separated out. But to this person's question, that's talking more about Adderall. And I think that, again, just going back to like my generation of medicine coming up, it was like kind of skeptical of medications such as opioids and Adderall. And like, again, for instance, when I first started for a C-section, it was people would prescribe 30 to 40 oxycodone, just no quit after a C-section.
Woof.
Holy God.
That was just like in the order set, 30 to 40 oxy, right? So now it's like five, maybe people don't even need it, we're realizing, right? So it was just this kind of like, oh yeah, you want this drug?
Go ahead.
And then we kind of learned to like reel that back. And the same for things like stimulants for ADHD, such as Ritalin and Adderall, is kind of, our generation was kind of taught to be a little bit more skeptical about these medications. So I do think, to this person's point, you know, if they've been on it forever and it works for them, then they need to find a doctor to have that conversation. Now, when you bring in cannabis, that's kind of a whole different conversation, because some states it's legal, some states it's not.
Right.
There are some, you know, medicinal marijuana has been, you know, shown to help some people. And that kind of like complicates the picture. So sure, if this person is using both, I mean, that's kind of like an upper and a downer, right? So that's a conversation to have if they're, you know, taking a stimulant and then then the way that my primary care and I, you know, we talk medicine sometimes, is kind of like pulling the brain in two different directions. So, you know, I'm not sure quite what, if they were getting it, that they were going to be worried that they wouldn't be prescribed it anymore.
I think that's the concern, that he's sure not going to be able to get the Adderall. But as you said, it's about establishing a relationship with the right doctor. Yes. And being honest about what you're taking.
Yes. And that's the thing. Yeah. And I think that you should not feel that you can't be honest. Say, you know, if you're using marijuana, what you use it for, and trying to figure out a regimen for you that's going to work for you. I don't think that there's anything, you know, anyone saying like, oh, you've been using this for years and it works really well. Well, I'm not going to prescribe, you know, like that's not fair.
That's not a good doctor.
Yeah, right. Right.
You say so many of the oxys, that blows my mind. My mother last year had surgery, and as part of the order set, they gave her, I think, 5 oxycodones. And I was ripping through the hospital like, I want to talk to a doctor right now. I want to know how she takes these. Because, you know, like, the show you're talking about was called Painkiller, and then there was Dope yeah. Sick.
I didn't
Dope
know
Sick.
If I could say it.
Sure,
Dope Sick is so good.
Yeah, you can
Dope
say, no, Sick
is I've heard
so,
that too,
it's yeah. so good.
Come at us, Netflix, I dare you. Yeah. No, but like, I'm so worried, especially about older folks, because they get prescribed, and they a lot of times very much trust their doctors, and that their doctor says, here's 30 oxy, go ahead. So just those 5, I was just like, how does my mother do this? How does she take them? If she doesn't need them, where do I bring them? Because I don't. What's your next prescription?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But as
now,
you
on
said,
the flip side of on the flip side, if I have a second, like my father actually just had a craniotomy and was in the neuro ICU a couple months ago, and they didn't, and they were like, again, this whole like, oh, he doesn't need opioids, and the poor man is like vomiting because he's in so much pain, and it's 2 a.m. I'm there with him at the neuro ICU, and I try not to drop the doctor card when I can't, you know, but they weren't giving him meds, and I was like, I want someone to come and explain to me why this man who is in obscene pain cannot get a narcotic right now. So it's both ways.
Yeah, but so now they're so hesitant to yes. deliver that medication that we're going to see the opposite yeah. problem. It's just yeah. it's what a shame. Yeah. And I can remember when, and I don't remember how many years ago this was, but when my friends were going to the doctor, they were all getting set up with Oxy.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was getting Oxy. Oh, yeah. They had so many, they were giving them away. It's yeah. like, you know, here, you need some, you're feeling bad.
No, get 50, we'll give you 5 more for friends.
Yeah, it was actually quite yeah. scary. It really was.
It is. It was. And that's where all of this came from. And our growing up kind of on the end of that was like, we saw the effects of it, and we're yeah. still seeing the effects of it. I mean, I rotated in northern Wisconsin.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. It was just sad, the patients you'd see that were just so addicted because they had a surgery and they got these 30 Oxy and then they, you know, couldn't get any more. So they went, you know, somewhere else. And it's just, it's really sad what happened and how we're kind of recovering from that now.
Yeah. Trying to recover and continuing to deal with the opioid crisis and the fentanyl crisis. Yeah. All right. Dr. Laura Hanks is here for our public cervix announcement. If you have a question for you, if you have a question for her, words are hard. Making sounds okay. with your mouth.
One's and then tough.
Forming
man.
Word
hey,
things.
Hey, so far, everything you said so far is far more truthful than anything Aaron Rodgers has ever said in his entire life. So you're doing great, kiddo. Keep the kid in the picture.
Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Our guest every Wednesday from 11:30 to 12, Dr. Laura Hanks for public cervix announcement. And you can always send in a question if you have a question for Dr. Hanks. It doesn't have to be OBGYN related. We talk about all kinds of things. Just send it in to janesays@civicmedia.us. Greg, you had a question for Dr. Hanks.
So this actually, I briefly mentioned it to you on the break here. This had more to do with the idea of self-diagnosis. There's a lot of people out there in the world of social media, people talking about being ADHD, neurodivergent, all those things. And the process of actually getting tested versus listening to a TikTok star, because it's something that I've wondered about too for myself. And I don't want to diagnose myself as that. Just because I identify with what they talk about in these videos, that doesn't mean anything to me. I haven't talked to a doctor. So basically what I wanted to ask you was, the proper process, if someone says, hey, I think I may have ADHD, what do I do? Who do I contact to get a test for that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I would start with your primary care physician and, you know, it's your annual, or you can, you know, send them a message and be like, I have some questions I've just been thinking about. And again, never wrong to say, hey, I was reading about this or talking to a friend that had a similar diagnosis. And I realized I kind of checked a lot of the same boxes. Mm-hmm. That's not wrong. Yeah. That's not wrong. And maybe you get tested and you don't have it. Maybe yeah. you do, you know, and I don't think any doctor would fault you for saying that. So starting with the primary care, absolutely. And then it kind of depends. Every place is a little different. Some people will then send you to a psych to like go through them. Some people will do it right with their primary care, kind of depending on their comfort level, to be tested. And again, they're realizing more and more that it used to be like, oh, you can't be diagnosed with that unless you're a kid. But that, you know, adult ADHD is in fact a thing. And so I think starting with them and just say, you know, I've just been wondering about this. What would you recommend next steps be?
Great.
Well, and I think it's important for people to remember too, Dr. Hanks, that things change. And as we learn more about various things, mm-hmm. things change and we treat things differently as different mm-hmm. things become available. So it's there's not always going to be one hard and fast thing for every single person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Really, we got about 6 minutes left, Dr. Hanks, and I know we're not going to have enough time to completely really break this down, but I have been wondering about this since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. NBC News reporting more young people are choosing permanent sterilization after abortion restrictions. There is an ongoing increase in adults ages 18 to 30 who are having tubal ligations or vasectomies. I can understand why, certainly if you're a young woman and you are, maybe you never thought about being a parent, that's not your number one thing in life. And you are, maybe you do want to be a parent and you're just afraid that if something goes wrong with your pregnancy, you're not going to get the treatment that you need. So
yeah.
I understand the reasoning for that. As a doctor, what do you think about this? Is this too young?
No.
No?
No. You are in charge of your body, period, you know? So at right after the Dobbs decision happened here in Wisconsin, we all kind of anecdotally noticed an uptick in requests for sterilization. So I would say in my clinic, I would maybe get 1 to 2 visits a month requesting sterilization. I was getting 1 to 2 a day.
Wow.
Gosh.
No joke.
Wow.
It was insane. So then we said, well, let's look at this. So we did a study at our institution and still waiting to be published. But we've presented on it, and at our institution, sterilizations just for people that have fallopian tubes went up 100% in that year following the Dobbs decision.
That's mind-blowing. That's mind-blowing.
Yeah. I mean, but like you said, are you surprised? No. And it was and the majority were in patients that had never had a baby and were less than 30. So our governing body tells us that, yes, there is a higher risk of regret. However, as long as the patient has been counseled properly, we should be offering that and stop. So there was actually a big group, even prior to the Dobbs decision on Reddit, I believe, blanking on the name of the group, but they had this running document of doctors that would provide sterilizations below the age of 30. And after Dobbs, this group just blew
exploded.
Up.
Wow.
Exploded. And so I didn't know that my name was on that list when I used to work on the West Coast. And one of my patients came in and was like, oh, do you know your name's on this list? And I was like, great. You know, like, yeah. That's awesome. You know, and again, I'm not just like willy-nilly sterilizing it. Don't get me wrong. I do a lot of counseling and I say, these are all the available options, but I will tell you that patients that are less than 30, they almost always have the exact same story. It's very fascinating to me. I think this would be something else interesting, but the story is almost word for word. I knew from my first period that I never wanted to have a baby. It scared the crap out of me to think about being pregnant. And that's the thing, to be scared of being pregnant. If I ever wanted to have a baby, I would do adoption. I would do a surrogate, but the idea of being pregnant scares me to death. And I've known that since I was 12. And they always say, ask my mom. But they always say that.
I'm sorry, I'm calling for your mom.
Yeah. What I've also had patients say that they've asked for sterilizations in other states and were told they needed to get their boyfriend's signature.
Oh, their boyfriend's signature?
I've heard that story more than once.
I have a friend of mine. I have a friend of mine who went to get his vasectomy. He and his wife had talked about it. He was going to get a vasectomy. She wasn't going to go through the procedure. The doctor tried to talk him out of it and said, what if you get divorced or she dies and you want to have more children? He tried to convince him because he was in his mid-30s at the time. And he's like saying, well, what happens if this happens? This is none of your business.
Yeah. I will say that there is a space to say, like, you know, when patients are younger, like, what, you know, what if you change your mind, you know, because the way that we do sterilizations now is they used to clip or do a tube, like take out a part of the tube. We actually take out the entire fallopian tube now because we know that a lot of ovarian cancer actually starts in the fallopian tube. So by taking out the entire fallopian tube, they're not only sterilizing, but we're also decreasing their chances of certain ovarian cancer. So, you can't reverse that though. Right. So that's very important to understand.
We will keep this conversation going when Dr. Hanks is back next Wednesday from 11:30 to 12.
Sherry, I saw your question here on the live stream. We will keep it for next week and we will ask it and get it taken care of. Thank you so much for reaching out.
Dr. Laura Hanks, thank you so very, very much. We will see you in a week. News is coming up next. Stay close for that. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and to our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you all for listening and for calling and for texting. It means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The preceding content is not intended as medical advice. Always consult your own physician, pharmacist, or healthcare professional for your own healthcare concerns.